It's ooey gooey some of the time.
My mummy has it with her wine.
Nacho cheese, oh how divine.
String cheese.
Cream cheese.
Stinky cheese.
Cheese, please.
I now declare that today and every day shall be cheesy.
A little bit of a song there to get you going on our discussion today. We're talking cheese to start the show. If you're like most Wisconsinites, you love cheese, but have you ever thought about how it's made? I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Thanks for joining us today. We have a Wisconsin cheesemaker with us who's traveled to Italy, France, and Switzerland to study his craft, George Crave. He's president of Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese in Waterloo. He oversees plant management and cheese production. So as we talk with him, what have you always wanted to know about cheese or cheese making? What's your favorite Wisconsin cheese? Join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. George Crave, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I guess the first thing I'd like to know is where did you get that little jingle introduction there? That's, can I say, unbelievable.
Isn't that something? Well, Aubrey Ralph, one of our engineers, found it, and... I tell you what, I'll have Aubrey shoot me the information on it. We'll send it to you. You might want to use it sometime.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What got you interested in making cheese?
Well, I'm a dairy farmer by trade. I grew up in a dairy farm. My dad milked cows, and my brothers and myself milked cows for about 25 years as a Crave Brothers farm. And after milking the cows for about those 25 years, looking at what am I going to do for the rest of my career. And that was about 1999, 2000. And commodity agriculture, we hear about it all the time. You know, the corn price, soybean price, price of milk, price of hogs, et cetera, is always just at break even at best. And I just didn't look forward to the next 20 years of in the cow milking business is just milking cows and being on what I call the commodity treadmill. So started doing some investigating and made a lot of phone calls for a year or two and made a lot of turns in the road of which way to go and ended up deciding to build our own on-farm cheese factory to mostly add value to the family farm's milk and to grow the family business without just growing more corn and milking more cows at that time.
Yeah, some value-added product there for sure. How'd you, you're a licensed cheesemaker. How did you become one?
Well, there's requirements in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's the only state that does require a license to make cheese. There always has to be a licensed cheesemaker on premises while we're processing and making the cheese. So between my startup man, Kurt Primo, that's been with me from day one all the way to our son Brian now is a licensed cheesemaker, and I am also. So we have to be on the facility here, and we have to intern for a couple of years under a licensed cheesemaker, which I did, and then pass an exam at the university at CDR and at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, where they have the licensing program. So you pass the exam, a fairly extensive exam that has to do with pHs and different cultures to food regulations, milk handling, and cheese handling, and you pass the exam and you're a licensed cheesemaker.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's detailed for sure. And you traveled to a number of countries to learn about cheese making. I got to believe that experience added to how you make your own cheese.
Well, it does. It really opens your eyes onto because Europe and other parts of the world have a much longer history than the U.S. does making cheese. Most of our European forefathers that came here did bring the cheese technology with them, and a lot of them settled right here in the upper Midwest where really started our tradition here. But from the mozzarella factories in Italy to the Gruyere and Fontina factories in Switzerland in France. Really interesting to see that, and also how they produce their milk there and market it. I think marketing is a big important part also to it all. We can make the cheese and make the great cheeses that we do make, but of course someone has to buy them to really keep the business going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you make some good cheeses, great cheeses for sure. In 2018, you were inducted, I'm sure I'll mispronounce this, into the Guild International de Fromage?
Correct. Yeah, that's the Guild of Cheese, and it's a group that started in France, and it's an international organization and a guild, and I was fortunate to be nominated by Kathy Strange from Whole Foods, nominated me to be a member of the guild, and it has to not only make cheese, but I'm one of the lucky ones that gets to know my business from what I call the four C's, crops to cows, cheese to the consumer. So on the farm side of our business, we have the corn, soybeans, alfalfa, winter wheat that we grow and harvest to feed our cows, and then the cows produce that fresh milk that we bring to the cheese factory every day, directly pipeline it from the farm to the cheese factory, and make our cheese. And of course, then it all has to go out on the trucks for national distribution. We sell cheese from Miami to Seattle every week, so it's all over the country.
Man. Well, we've got a caller online and some emails, so maybe we should get to that. If you would like to join in, there's open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234, or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Mo in Oconto. Mo, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Why is there only one Limburger maker in Wisconsin? And I know that was a favorite of the old Germans when I think they had rye bread, Limburger cheese, and an onion on there. And it's a very mild cheese, not like the smell of it. And my second question is there any traditional cow's milk cheese that was made basically in Wisconsin first?
The Limburger cheese is made at Chalet Cheese down in the Monroe, Monticello area. Myron Olson down there made it for years. He's since retired, but the Chalet Cheese Company is still making Limburger cheese. And Colby cheese is a authentic Wisconsin cheese, as is Havarti, was developed in Wisconsin, and Brick cheese was developed in Wisconsin. Joe Widmer and Teresa, right up the road from us here, Joe and his son Joey, they're second and third generation cheesemakers at their Widmer cheese, and they make the German brick cheese, which is in foil wrap. So that's a great Wisconsin cheese also.
Okay, so we have produced and developed our own cheeses, and I don't know if you've ever been down to the Chalet in Monroe, but I haven't enjoyed a Limburger sandwich there, for sure. I expect the demand for it is low, you know, if you think about it on a national scale, which is probably why more people aren't doing it, George.
Well, it's you know, the old taste buds, the old world traditions of having a Limburger on rye with onions, or it's kind of like the old beef eater sandwiches, you know, the old raw meat sandwiches, and they kind of go out of style as we lose the old generation, the people that enjoy that type of cuisine, if you will. And the distribution, really, to get a lot of products out. What we learned in the market right away is that if you don't have a certain volume, it's very difficult to distribute it. And we do appreciate the specialty stores that do carry our cheeses and some of the other cheeses that are made in smaller batches and are really terrific, you know, products and locally produced. But there has to be someone that's willing to retail them also and handle them.
Yeah, absolutely. Christina in Glenwood City, let's turn to you now. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I love aged cheese, especially those that are 10 years or older. So with this in mind, when I purchase cheese, it has a sell-by date. How would this compare with a use-by date? How can I keep it? How long can I keep it in the refrigerator? And what is the best way to store it?
Well, it has to be, there's only certain cheeses that can be aged, and I would recommend, you know, the cheddar. And to really make a good aged cheddar, they have to produce it to be aged. They just can't be a a cheese that was made to be a mild cheddar and say, well, we're just not going to sell it for 10 years because there's certain pHs and certain factors into making that cheese so it does age out properly. The sell-by date and best use-by date, that's always a big industry debate. They're really the same thing. Sell-by and use-by. Sell-by means, you know, that it should be off the store shelf and in your cart at that date. Use-by is usually gives you maybe another 2 weeks on what they call the preferred expiration date. There's a lot of debate if, you know, what those really mean. But I think if you're going to buy a cheese and try to age it on your own, you should look for something that's at least a 1 or 2 year old cheese because it was made to age. And then if you want to age it for another couple of years, put it in a, take it home, put it in the refrigerator, and kind of just let it sit.
Let it sit. There you go, Christina. Thank you so much. Lenny in Lake Geneva called to ask what cheeses are rich in probiotics.
Well, yogurts. Yogurts is a dairy product, of course, that has a lot of probiotics. There are specific yogurts that do talk about their probiotic benefits, and those are a lot of cultures that are in yogurts that do help with digestion and that sort. So I think that's what the probably the easiest cheese that they could be looking for.
Yeah. So you would kind of consider that a cheese?
Well, no. I guess just dairy product. You know, I still have cows and I still enjoy the dairy industry. So I'll just recommend yogurt as far as high probiotic. There are a lot of cultures in aged cheeses. There's a lot of cultures in those also.
Let's take another call here. Tona in Bayfield, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just wondering if you ever heard of, there's an old Finnish cheese called Justava, and it's made with raw cow's milk, and it's Finnish, and they bake it in the oven and then chill it. And it's real mild cheese. It tastes similar to cheese curds, but it's very wood. Anyhow, I just wondered if you'd ever heard of it. It's big in the UP of Michigan.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of that type of cheese. There are cheeses that a few companies are making. It almost looks like a toasted piece of bread, and that it's very soft, and it's usually heated up that way. And that might be the cheese you're talking about right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Tona. We had someone else wondering if you can freeze cheese.
You can freeze cheese. It does affect a little the functionality, what we call it in the cheese business, where it might be a little bit softer, doesn't quite have the body that you would have before you freeze it. But it's recommended that when you thaw it out, you just thaw it out in the refrigerator and then use it within a week or so, because it will lose some of its functionality and texture.
Hmm. George Crave, our guest today, president of Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese in Waterloo, Wisconsin. You may have some Crave Brothers cheese in your refrigerator right now. I'm sure I do have some of mine, some of their cheeses in my refrigerator. Join in with your questions as we talk. National Cheese Lovers Day is January 20th, so we're getting a little jump start on that by talking with him today about Wisconsin cheese, the market, it's growing, how's it working? You can ask your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tom Blaine, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at cheese today on the show, Larry Mueller here with my guest, George Crave, president of Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Talk about the cheeses that you actually make, George.
Well, we make fresh mozzarella, which is the soft milky cheese that either is packed in a brine in a cup, or is in a log or a ball in a vacuum pack. That's fresh mozzarella. You know, originally when we started, that was very popular. Tomato season, caprese salads, lighter eating in the summertime. But since then, has grown to year-round enjoyed year-round, and even now in January, we're making a couple of vats of that even today. So really happy that that's become an everyday cheese for us. We make our and in the fresh mozzarella, again, it goes from the little pearl size, 2 gram pearl sizes that work great on salads and soups, the Siliginis, cherry size, bocconcinis, golf ball size, ovalinis, 4 ounce, and then up to the 8 ounce, 1 pound logs. We make a 5 pound loaf for a pizza company out in Seattle. We make mozzarella tubes for pizza companies to slice on their pizzas. So that's you know, it's one cheese, but so many different sizes and shapes and for different uses out on the market. We make queso Oaxaca braided string cheese for the Hispanic market in many different labels and sizes. We make it from a little tied up little ball of 8 ounce Oaxaca up to a 3 and a 5 pound ball, which is about the size of a big volleyball of rolled up cheese string. So we make thousands of pounds of that a week, much to our delight and our surprise that that market has grown that way. Mascarpone cream cheese. We take the cream off the milk after it's pasteurized, and we process it and cook it up and make mascarpone cream cheese, which is a non-cultured cream cheese. The sour cream that you'll buy that has cultures that make it sour and develop the lower pH, but our mascarpone is just an acidified cream cheese, and really great in desserts. Mascarpone mushroom soup, mascarpone chocolate pie, mascarpone key lime pie. So a lot of different recipe ideas we have on our website for all the different ideas. And, you know, that's one thing we've really done, and my wife Debbie, that's worked with me in the business from day one, has developed a lot of recipes, because people always say, well, how would you use this? What would you do? How do you use your cheese? So we've developed a lot of recipes to give people ideas on how to use our cheese. And I think that's been industry-wide around the industry of how to add cheese to different dishes other than lasagna or pizzas. But where can we else can we sprinkle it in? Where else can we top it or work it into the recipe? So that's really driven cheese sales also. And, of course, we make Wisconsin's squeaky cheese curds also a couple times a week. We make yellow and white cheese curds along with jalapeno on our white cheese curds, which are really, you melt those down and slide them on top of a hamburger when you're ready to go to the table, and it's a great cheeseburger.
Oh, it is indeed. Well, you mentioned your mascarpone, the mushroom soup with mascarpone, and I looked at the recipe, and we have it up on our website. If you, we have a link to the recipe on our program notes. If you go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry and look at the program notes, you're going to see that recipe. Or you say as well, George, you have it up on your website. What's your website?
Cravecheese.com.
Cravecheese.com. It looks. I'm going to be trying that one out.
Yeah, it's delicious. And right before you dish it up in the bowl, a little sprig of rosemary on top, and then some fresh cracked pepper, and you're ready to go.
Oh, it looks just great. Terry in Webster is up with a question or comment. Hi, Terry.
Hi. For years, I've bought aged cheddar cheese from a place near Tomah, Wisconsin, and I know it's really aged cheddar cheese. It's very sharp. It's very good. And I ran out, and I get it, you know, sent to me through the mail, and in the summer, they can't ship it. So I bought some local aged cheddar from a local cheese factory, and the difference was like night and day, and it was a different texture. I mean, it was completely different, and it said it was aged, and someone told me, well, maybe it was chemically aged. Do you have any thoughts on what the difference was?
Well, if there's a person that had the real tradition of making an aged cheese, and as I mentioned earlier, there's techniques in when they're making the cheddar that they say they identify that this is going to be an aged cheese, that we're going to make this vat for a 5-year aged cheese, and they'll use different cultures and different techniques throughout the make. And I'm not going to give all the company, all the industry secrets, but there is different things that you do, and that will let the cheese last longer. It'll develop the calcium crystals. It'll get a get a sharp flavor, not an acidy flavor. And so maybe the aged cheese you bought was just cheese that was made to be mild cheddar, and they ended up being a year old, and they called it aged. I can't really answer your question, but that's really there has to be identification of each vat that's what they're going to be produced for. And there's several people. You could go on the Wisconsin Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin website, and you'll find different people that do make aged cheese.
Do you age cheeses, George?
No, we don't. Our cheeses are fresh mozzarella, queso Oaxaca, mascarpone. They're all considered fresh cheeses, which means we make them to order for the specific number of cups or cases that we get orders every week. And that's just what we make, and that's distributed within a couple of days after it's made.
Ah, gotcha. Kay in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Kay.
Yes. I'd like to have some questions answered regarding unique cheeses that are low-fat and low-salt. During the holidays, I like to serve cheese, and I like to send it as gifts. And if I can find good low-fat and low-salt cheese, it's a wonderful gift. So I just wondered if you had any ideas.
Well, mozzarella is a lower-fat. It's a skim milk cheese. They call it, part skim, low moisture, and it's usually only about 1.6 to 1.8% salt, which is very moderate for cheese. So mozzarella, but that's not a very fancy one. I would recommend a Gouda, a really good Gouda cheese. Smoked Gouda is a very good additional little twist to the Goudas that are out there, and there's a lot of terrific Gouda makers in Wisconsin, real championship Gouda makers in Wisconsin.
All right. There you go, Kay. Thank you for calling. Annette in Green Bay, your turn. Ahead, Annette. Go ahead.
In your travels to Europe, did you ever come across a real young cheese called Quark, or it's spelled Q-U-A-R-K, Quark, I guess, if you wanted to English it. But it's like cream cheese, but it's real, real fresh, almost dripping wet. And they make a lot of cream cheesecakes kind of out of it. And nobody seems to make it in Wisconsin, and you think they would. Are you familiar with it?
The pronunciation is quark cheese, and it is. It's a drained curd, acidified curd, not a very low pH, moderate pH. And because of the moderate pH and the high moisture, makes it very difficult for distribution. And because most of it that is made in Europe and made at little farmsteads is very locally produced, or even some chefs that might have it on a restaurant make their own quark with just buying milk and acidifying it and draining it through a cheesecloth. And what's left over, it's almost like if you had the sheep or the goat industry that has their chev. And it's kind of a precursor to making shove.
There you go.
Oh. And you don't make it? Does anybody make it in Wisconsin?
Oh, I'm not sure. As I say, you'd have to check out Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin website, and they have the listing of all the different cheeses made in Wisconsin and who makes them.
Oh, okay. That's a good. Yeah, thanks, Annette. Appreciate it. Some emails we should address here. Daniel wondered about further aging cheese. Does he, he's got aged cheese, but he wants to further age it. Would he unwrap it and have it in the fridge?
Well, I have to be careful what I recommend that people do, because I don't have control over what they're doing or they're under their environment. Yeah. I'm always very careful to recommend how people age cheese. If you feel like an artisan, go ahead and get creative, I guess is all I would say. But, yeah, it ages better when it gets a little bit of air once in a while. Take it out of the store package. Make sure that it's a clean environment. Put it in a Ziploc bag. Try to keep it as clean as possible, of course, and then you're on your own. But cheese does age better with a little bit of oxygen.
Paul in Albany emailed to ask how to best store cheese in the fridge. He sees cheese vaults online for your fridge. Are these better than wrapping it in plastic or a baggie?
Well, again, once you open a package, you should put it back in a Ziploc bag and keep it in the fridge. And once in a while, it'll get your cheddars, it will get a little bit of a mold on it, or your Parmesans will get a little bit of a mold on the outside rind, and they're okay. You just take it out. You just shave off that edge and get into some good cheese again and enjoy it.
And the cheese vaults, are you familiar with those that they sell for consumers?
No, I'm not. I'm not sure what he's referring to.
Yeah, I'm not
either. Like the ones with the nuts on them and such? Maybe. The holiday type of hors d'oeuvre cheese balls?
I think he was talking about a vault that you can have to store your cheese in at home.
Oh, cheese
an actual
vault.
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Grant emailed that he's a passionate bread baker who loves to add cheese into bread dough. Are some styles of cheese better than others when using cheese as an ingredient in bread for baking?
Well, I think mozzarella, you know, you see the stuffed crust types of cheeses with the mozzarella. Some Parmesan it works out well. I would try also a Gouda, you know, especially like if you're trying to make a bread that had a little bit more flavor, like a smoked Gouda on a bread, or even a Gruyere. The Gruyeres have that very nice nutty flavor that I really enjoy, and especially when you have a warm bread. Warm cheese is always much better than cold cheese. So if you're going to have a warm bread with some warm cheese on it, I think something along the Gruyere Gouda would make a terrific bread cheese.
Ooh, yeah, you're making me hungry just thinking about it. What's the whole? You know, we haven't even talked about the whole process of making cheese. What's the basic process?
Well, for us, we bring the milk from our farm. We milk the cows on one side of the road. It's refrigerated. We store it there. Then once a day, we swing a valve and directly pipeline it over to underground to the cheese factory, and it's pasteurized, and then it's put into large cheese vats. Either they're open cheese vats that you might recognize. They're long tanks. But we have what we call the enclosed cheese vats, and we have three of them that hold 25,000 pounds of milk apiece. And you either add the culture or citric or lactic acid to the milk to develop the pH. You're always looking to develop a pH. And every cheese is specific on what pH and what cultures you use to develop the flavors and the acidity and to make it softer or firmer. And then you add the rennet. You set the cheese, the milk, like a big vat of yogurt, and it sits for about a half an hour, and then you cut it, either with wires or mechanically with the big arms that turn in the coagulated milk. And then you have the curds and whey. Then you have these little cubes, and then you have yellow water that starts to come out of the cubes or the curds. And if you add heat, it dries it down. If you're going to make a Swiss cheese or a Gruyere or something or a Parmesan, you put a lot of heat on it for maybe an hour or two, and you stir it real slow, and that dries it out. As we all know in cooking, you add heat and time, and you evaporate and cook out and remove the moisture, which makes a firmer, harder curd, which makes a firmer, harder cheese. For our mozzarella, we want a very soft cheese, almost like when we make our curd, it's almost like poached egg white, where it's very soft and delicate. And there we cut it, and then we gravity feed it down onto tables, and then we load it into a cooker that's a mozzarella pasta filata cooker, and it melts the cheese into big, long pieces of string cheese that flows into a molder that molds it into the pearlinis, bocconcinis, and ovalinis, et cetera, so or else extruded into the queso Oaxaca. So that's our process. And then, of course,
doesn't sound like there. That. Doesn't sound like a lot of hands are involved in that. You're keeping it pretty clean.
Right. We're keeping it very clean. Ours is all enclosed until it comes time to load the cooker and then put it in the cups. We have ladies that scoop it out of the chilled water and load the cups with little scoopers, and then goes through a packaging machine where the brine and the lids and the sell-by date and goes through all the quality assurance steps, and then into the cooler for cooling, and then packaged up for distribution. That's all. And pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple. And I should just mention, you've won many awards for your cheeses over the years.
Yes, thank you, Larry. We're well decorated, and we really appreciate that. It's really a validation of what we're doing. You know, we just work out here, and we hope that people like it when our customers repeat and they come back and continue to order year after year. It's really a good validation of what we're doing here, as I say, from our crops to the cows to the cheese to the consumer. So it's all really tying it all together. And, you know, that's just the cow side of it, or just the cheese side of it I just explained. Then we have to grow the, you know, in the spring we have to plant the corn and the alfalfa and the winter wheat and soybeans and harvest those at the ideal nutritional stage, and then store them to feed to our cows to produce that very consistent, high-quality milk that makes it all happen. So it's quite a process. And when we get through this pandemic and all the work we've done, and we've never, you know, we had a few scares where we're going to run out of food. We really didn't, you know. There was a little bit of hoarding going on, but we kept the food supply going, and we kept that chain of supply from the farms to the processors to the stores with all the noise going on out there in the world. It was pretty well uninterrupted, and I think all of our listeners have to realize that we have a very resilient food supply in America.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica in River Falls has a question for you. Let's go there. Jessica, hi.
Hello. I would like to know why my ordinary cheeses that I purchase from just the store mold so quickly, and if there's anything I can do to rid the mold spores in my refrigerator?
That's a good question. I just had someone ask me that a few days ago. They were telling me about how they, you know, they put cheese in the refrigerator and it molds, and then they take it out and they put some more in there and it molds. And probably the best thing to do is what you need. If you ever, I don't know what your refrigerator looks like, but I'm familiar with a few refrigerators, and sometimes you have to step back and just empty them all out, and you just clean them all out. Use a good sanitizer and a good cleaner and wipe them all out, because really what you have is a beautiful incubator. Refrigerators are terrific incubators. They're the right temperature and the right moisture to really grow mold. So empty everything out of the refrigerator, clean it all up good. And then as far as the cheese goes, if you have too much moldy cheese, you're just reintroducing it back into that environment. Toss it out, start over, and then when you take it, let's just say a mild cheddar, use what you're going to use that day, and then take some good cellophane wrapping paper and really wrap it tight to keep the air out of it, and then put it in the Ziploc bag, squeeze the air out of that, and you should have much better success with keeping mold out of your cheeses.
There you go, Jessica, and that's probably good advice for a lot of people who are listening today, myself included. Lynn and Ringo, we'll go to you next. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning. Thank you, Larry. I got a question about Norwegian brown cheese. It's probably the same cheese that the gal from the UP was talking about. Are you familiar with that, and is there any place in Wisconsin that makes it?
Well, there's a few people in Wisconsin make it. I know there's specialty cheese in Reeseville that makes that type of cheese like that, and I know Car Valley, our friends up at Car Valley up there in Mauston, and they have a couple locations and some retail outlets. They make a good baked cheese like that.
Yeah, so there are a few around. Thanks very much for that. Many listeners emailed that Clock Shadow Creamery in Milwaukee has Quark as well as many other types. So we were talking about Quark earlier. Diana emailed that she grew up near a Monterey cheese factory that made brick cheese. It had a very strong smell and totally delicious taste. Can she find this anywhere in Wisconsin nowadays?
Well, that sounds like what Joe Widmer makes up at Tress at Widmer Cheese Cellars. He makes a German brick, he calls it, which is foil wrapped. So they make the cheese, a lot of cultures in the milk, and then when they're finished, they rub the outside of it with a culture, and then they wrap it in foil, a special foil paper, and that develops that nice, rich, some people would say strong flavor, but has a really good creamy interior that develops. And there again, you can get a mild, medium, and an aged on that, and you'll know the difference when you're tasting them.
And what was the name of that cheese
maker
again?
That's Widmer Cheese Cellars in Tressa, Wisconsin.
Oh, there we go. Ron in La Crosse has a question. Hi, Ron.
Yes, I have an appliance called... Well, I won't name the brand, but it's one of these electric vacuum vacuum sealers where you draw the air out of special mm-hmm. bags. Yep. And if you really want to preserve cheese, you know, you're not going to, you want to buy it in a big block. You don't want it to get moldy. Instead of having to go through the hassle, clean out a refrigerator, and I know how dirty mine gets, you can use a special bag. And then this vacuum sealer, once you get the air out, you shouldn't have any problems with it getting moldy. Well, more often than not, I usually eat my cheese. I don't buy such a big block, and I'll just wrap it in saran wrap with a rubber band or something, you know.
Yeah.
That usually helps.
Yep.
Yep, big food savers. We have them, industrial food savers here. That's how we package a lot of our cheese.
There you go. Thanks so much. You have you've recently received praise as a sustainable farm. You've talked a bit about that, but why is that important to how you run your business?
Well, it's important. Sustainability is very popular right now. I like to say we've been, being green, we've been green before green was groovy. Of course, most farmers have been recyclers from the beginning, where you take the crops from the fields and bring them in and feed your cows. And, you know, you harvest your cows, either the meat and the milk, and you have the leather and all the other byproducts that come out of animal agriculture. And what's left over goes back to the fields. You know, the manure and the waste goes back to the fields to nourish the crops for next year. So it's really ultimate recycling and original recycling. We've just taken it a step further on our farm, where we take all the waste from our farm and cheese factory and have two large 750,000-gallon tanks that all the waste from the cows and cheese factory is fermented or rapidly decomposed, and the rapid decomposition produces methane gas. We capture and hold that methane gas and power a 800-horse V12 engine, gigantic engine, that turns an electromagnetic generator that produces enough electricity to power the farm, the cheese factory, and about 300 homes in our community. Then what comes out of that, what goes in must come out, and what comes out is the fermented out, almost like composted waste, and then we take that and squeeze it. The liquids go back to the fields for fertilizer. The solids, the little fibers that went through the cows and had all the methane squeezed out of them, go back under the cows for cow bedding. So eventually it all ends up going back, recycled back to the fields to produce next year's crop. So we've just taken it a step further, and that's the methane digesters. And so we're producing electricity off of renewable energy. We're running this engine, powering this huge engine without gasoline or diesel. It's just being powered off of methane.
It's just an amazing process, George. And I want to thank you so much for making some really good cheese and for being with us today as well. George, appreciate it very much. I think we ought to go out with that cheesy song again. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. I don't know if you can get enough of it during National Cheese Day, so we'll have to play it again on the 20th.
George Gray, president of Gray Brothers Farmstead Cheese, and let's go out with that cheesy song.
It's ooey gooey some of the time.
My mummy has it with her wine.
Nacho cheese, oh how divine.
String cheese.
Cream cheese.
Stinky cheese.
Cheese, please.
I now declare that today and every day shall be cheesy.